It's the top of the hour, and I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I'm really glad you've joined me for this lesson. Today, we're talking about consistency. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. My mentor, John Maxwell, says motivation gets you going, discipline keeps you going, and Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the leadership skills and the discipline that you need today and every day to be consistent. Now, this content that I'm teaching today, it's good stuff. There's value here, and if you'll put it into practice, it's going to pay off for you in a big way. In my career, I watched people who weren't as smart as me, didn't know as much stuff as I knew, and for some reason they moved ahead and I didn't, and I was really annoyed about that. But what I discovered was they knew things that I didn't know. And I was super excited when I learned that other people could, anybody could learn what those other people knew. That these are skills that I could acquire just like any other skills. And I share these lessons because I want you to learn the things that I wish somebody had taught me. Because my career would have moved ahead if I had known these things. Now, before we jump in, I always like to ask, how are you going to act after this lesson's over? How are you going to act? ACT is an acronym: apply, change, and teach. What's an idea from today's lesson that you can apply right away? Our goal during the lesson is for you to be thinking about the specific things that you can DO, you can do with this. And so I want to encourage you to make an A or a C or a T in your notes to help remind you that this is something I can apply, change, or teach. Now, applies, put it into practice, use it. Change is something I'm doing one way, I'm going to start to do it a different way. And T's for teach, not like get on a call like this, but share an idea with somebody else. Just share an idea. And our goal is to be a river, not a reservoir. We don't want to be the one who collects all the information. We're going to share the information as we're learning it. Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson. I look forward to it because I know from my own experience just how valuable it is. I know that consistency is the difference between average and incredible. Becoming disciplined is essential to completing work, and it's essential to career and income growth, too. Now, over the next few minutes, we're going to be digging into an area that's got some buried treasure. We're going to uncover some gold here. And if you'll take even one idea from today's lesson and begin to put it into practice, you're going to be amazed at what happens. Now, maybe for you, you're going to want to go deeper. You want some accountability and some tools to support you in this journey. And if that's you, I promise at the end of this lesson, I'm going to share with you a way that you can do that. Fair enough? So years ago, a fairly young engineer, I remember I was standing in my boss's office, and he had just informed me that I was not going to receive my full bonus for the year. I was upset. Why not? I was a hard worker. I was just as smart as the other guys on the team. I deserve that money, right? Well, my boss shared a hard truth with me. He handed me a printed copy of the bonus guidelines, and he read out loud the part that said, "Consistently delivers results above current level." I was quick to jump in. I do deliver results above my position. I work really hard, and I've been here on weekends, and I figured out solutions to hard problems for our clients. I meet that guideline. He said, "Yes, there are times that you do that, but you skipped a word. The guideline says consistently delivers." Now, I wanted to fight back, but while I thought I knew the definition of the word consistently, I could not rattle it off the top of my head, and it was before we had immediate access to Google. In fact, I think it was before Google was even a thing. So I excused myself from that conversation, and later I looked it up, thinking that I would be preparing for the next session with my boss where I was going to win that argument. I'll just make a side note here. If you work in a relatively large organization, like one that has a written policy on awarding bonuses, you are never going to win that article. I didn't know that, and the energy I invested in trying to win that argument was a total waste of my time, and here's why. In an organization like that, by the time a bonus has actually been paid, changing that amount requires your boss has to admit he was wrong. And he has to go to his boss and convince that boss that it was wrong and it needs to be remedied. And that boss has to say, I was wrong to sign off on that. And then HR has to agree that the change is needed. And then there's a whole bunch of paperwork that has to get pushed through payroll. Now, if you take just a moment and think about how much do you like admitting when you were wrong? None of us likes to admit that. And to win this fight, you have to get a bunch of people to admit carelessness or bad judgment and then cause them to do extra work to overcome that error. From a human behavior standpoint, that is virtually impossible. So let's get back on point. Let's talk about that definition. Webster says consistency marked by harmony, regularity, or steady continuity, free from variation or contradiction. When I was honest with myself, while it was true that I could deliver great results, I had to admit I had some pretty big failures, too. Like that one time I flew to Chicago, and then after I got there, I realized I had failed to confirm that some of the prerequisite work was already done. The phone company had not completed that required work, and so my trip was a failure because I couldn't do the work that was needed, and the phone company was not able to do it when I needed it done. I was able to do it, but I was not consistent in my work, and that was the problem. My boss was right, but I really could only blame myself. Darn it. It wasn't that I was overall a low performer. In fact, I was a high performer. I just wasn't consistently a high performer. So what would it take for me to be able to move from a high performer to somebody who's extraordinary? One part of that formula is discipline. Wait, punishment? Really? Does punishment help? I got to deal with this topic of punishment right away, because we're not talking about punishment. In my experience, there is a widespread belief that discipline is the same thing as punishment. And dictionary does have punishment as one of the definitions for the word discipline. But it's important to note that it's not the only definition. Definition 1 says orderly or prescribed conduct. And definition 3 says training that corrects, molds, or perfects. It's that definition 3 that I want to hone in on. What I want you to do, thinking about discipline, I want you to think about it as training, not punishment. And why? Because punishment does not work. Years ago, I had a boss who was a big believer in punishment. Whenever we would break something in production on our technology stuff, she would assign to us a job. We had to write a detailed report about our failure. I don't even think she ever read the report. Based on her behavior and what I saw about it, I think her goal was to punish us for causing the outage. We never reviewed the document. We never talked about process improvement, but we did spend days writing the report. Now, did that make us better at our jobs? Well, maybe. But it certainly made us less likely to do whatever it was that caused us to be punished. And I don't think that was really her goal. Punishment doesn't work when your boss uses it. It also doesn't work when we punish ourselves. I was sitting with a client, and we were talking about what she was doing and how things were working for her and what her next steps were to getting her to success. And I noticed that she often commented about her attitude or her response or her behavior. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Her message to herself was that she was often bad. If that is what she's saying out loud, she must really believe it. She had a learning model that said, if I punish myself by pointing out to myself how wrong I am or how bad I am, that will fix me. Really? I don't think so. Commenting on her badness merely pressed her to be more confident she was not going to make the right choices. It was reinforcing to her, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. It doesn't work. Social science research shows that punishment does not work to modify behavior. If beating yourself up led to great outcomes, you would excel as soon as you listen to your inner critic. In her case, it led her to not speaking up, not taking action, and not delivering the kind of value that her boss needed her to deliver. Instead of being punished, what she needs is training. Just as an athlete is in training, you are in training too. Coaches correct athletes, coaches mold, and coaches perfect performance for athletes. Coaches discipline athletes. And as an executive coach, I help do those things for my clients too. So what does a training regimen look like for you at work? Well, part of the process is to figure out where you should start at all. Today, in what areas are you currently not free from variation or contradiction? In what areas are you currently not free from variation or contradiction? You might want to start small. Ken Blanchard wrote about this idea in his book, Whale Done. And in that book, he describes how trainers at SeaWorld get animals to perform. They don't use punishment at all. And I want to share with you the steps that Blanchard documented that work at SeaWorld, because the things that they use to train killer whales, they actually work on people too. First, if you can recognize yourself doing something that isn't working, admit to yourself, this is not working. Second, describe the problem or error as quickly and as soon as possible without blame. Describe the problem or error as quickly and as soon as possible, as clearly and as soon as possible without blame. Third, show its negative impact. Fourth, ask yourself, was the expectation clear when I started? Fifth, make sure that a successful goal is defined. What does success look like? And finally, express your confidence and trust in yourself to do great things. Now, when you do these steps, what you will find is that you'll find some improvement. And when you see any progress at all, praise yourself, give yourself credit. Be specific about what you did right or what you did almost right. Share your positive feelings about that thing that you did. And encourage yourself to keep up the good work. This is the first step in consistency, thinking in terms of training, like an elite athlete. What are the basic things you need to do with excellence in order to be extraordinary? I love something Andrew Wood said about this. He said, where many people go wrong in trying to reach their goals is in constantly looking for the big hit, the home run, the magic answer that suddenly transforms their dreams into reality. The problem is the big hit never comes without a great deal of little hits first. Success in most things comes not from some gigantic stroke of fate, but from simple, incremental progress. We're talking about consistent progress. And when you think about making improvements, why do you want to improve anyway? This lesson started with me talking about a why that I had. My why was I wanted to get my full bonus. What's your why? What motivates you? I love the story of a salesman who looked out the window of the hotel restaurant during a blinding snowstorm. He asked his waiter, do you think the roads will be clear enough in the morning to travel? The waiter replied, that depends whether you are on salary or commission. Now, whether you're on salary or hourly wages, I think this is metaphorical, right? We're thinking about, what does this mean? Are you on salary or are you on commission? Are you going to get paid the same whether you work hard or don't work hard, whether you improve or don't improve, or are you on commission, so to speak, in terms of your performance getting better and your pay getting higher? Are you motivated to change anything? Now, sometimes I have been motivated to change, and sometimes I'm not motivated to change, and it's hard for me to admit that. The problem is we can often get into trouble when we fail to change or by quitting. The NFL coach Vince Lombardi was so powerful an influencer that they named the Super Bowl trophy after him, the Lombardi trophy. And he said, once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. Is there an area of your life where you've chosen to quit? Has that become a habit for you? Now, maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in a financial area. Maybe it's in the area of your health. All these things matter, and if you make improvements in any one of them, it's going to improve your results in the other areas too. Now, there's a link between your why and your behavior. I was talking to one of my kids, and he needed to get packed up quickly to leave. And in his head, getting packed up was a big project. And I told him, we're leaving in 10 minutes. And he began to panic. He said, but I'm not packed, and I haven't had my ice cream yet. Wanting to calm his fears, I told him, well, go ahead and have dessert and then finish packing. He happily ate his ice cream quickly and then said to me, well, now I don't have a reason to pack fast. Oops, I'm still learning every day. But I replied, go ahead and pack with the same speed you use for dessert. I want you to pack at ice cream speed. If you want to modify your behavior and it's not working, maybe you need a bigger why. For my son, it was ice cream. What is it for you? Why do you want to be more consistent? And even if you know why you want to do something, if you don't know how you work, you're going to run into challenges. You need to understand what makes you tick and how you work. So how do you work? What is it that helps you take the action that you need to take? Have you ever looked at personality assessments? I love the DISC assessment. Time does not permit me in today's call to go into detail about all the aspects of DISC, but this is a great tool to help me understand how I think and how I communicate and how I organize my work. And it's the same for you. A tool that digs in and helps you understand how you think, how you communicate, and how you organize your work. As an overview, DISC says people fall into one of four types of thinkers and doers. The D's, the directors, the delegators, these are action-oriented people who get things done and get them done fast. I's are influencers, and they love to work with people and get things done. S's are steady, supportive, patient, loyal, and practical. And C's are conscientious. They comply with standards, and they're detail-oriented. Knowing which style is your style helps you know how to think about the actions you need to take and how you'll be likely to succeed. For me, I'm an I style, an influencer. Dealing with the details is emotionally challenging. It makes it hard for me to start a task that requires a lot of detail. So how do I take my motivation and organize my work so I can be ready for those details? For me, it has to do with how understanding how leveraging those details leads to success with people. What is it for you? Have you ever looked at DISC? That might be a good place to start to better understand yourself. When you're ready to take action, remember it's the little hits that add up. Darren Hardy talked about that in his book, The Compound Effect, the principle that we can reap huge rewards from a series of small, smart choices. Even though the steps don't seem massive, they add up as long as you don't quit. In his book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, John Maxwell says, discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. And that bridge must be crossed every day. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. And that bridge must be crossed every day. So again, I'll ask, what can you do today? I want to wrap up today's lesson with another part of Maxwell's writing on consistency. John tells the story of composer John Williams. And even if you don't know John Williams' name, if you're a movie fan, you've almost certainly heard some of his work. Williams wrote those five notes in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. He's written 121 films, the score for 121 films. He's written a symphony, a dozen concertos, and many other symphonic works. You've heard the ominous sound of the approaching shark in the movie Jaws, or the themes from Star Wars or Raiders of the Lost Ark or the Harry Potter films. John Williams has had a big commitment to consistency that's paid off, and it's paid off very well for him. Here's what he says about his work. I love this quote, and I want to make sure that you focus on this. I developed very early on a habit of writing something every day, good or bad. There are good days, and there are less good days, but I do a certain amount of pages, it seems to me, before I can feel like the day has been completely served. When I'm working on a film, of course, it's a six-day-a-week affair, and when I'm not working on films, I always like to devote myself to some piece, some musical projects. That gives me a feeling that maybe I'm contributing in some small way, or maybe, more importantly, learning in the process. Now, for me, my mentor John Maxwell taught me that he reads every day, He writes every day, and he files every day. I aspire to do that too. That's one reason I created this program. It helps keep me learning, keep me growing and preparing for the things that are to come. On the John Maxwell team, one of the things that we often say is, you don't have to be great when you start, but in order to be great, you must start. Let me encourage you today to start thinking about consistency. Start small, but take action today. What's one thing you need to do well consistently at work? What's one small step that can help you with that? All right, it's almost time for us to be done with this lesson, and I want you to be thinking about your personal action plan as I go over a recap of today's lesson. First, we talked about how consistent performance is tied to discipline. We talked about how discipline, when it comes to achievement, is not punishment, but rather knowing your why and then committing to the small changes you need to make to achieve your goals. What is that thing that moves you to work at ice cream speed? We also talked about the insights we can get from better understanding ourselves and by leveraging a tool like DISC assessment to help us gain that understanding about how we organize work and how we like to have our tasks aligned with the way we prefer to work. And finally, we talked about the compound effect from Darren Hardy, the process of consistently applying the right simple choices each day that help us get to the really big payoffs. So think about for you. What do you need to do next? What's the one small step you can take in any of these areas? And maybe you're listening to this with your team. Where is your team great at being consistent, and where does your team need some help? Take a few minutes to talk to the team about that. Where can you improve? Now, I mentioned that you might be interested in learning more or want to spend some more time on this topic, and I want to talk to you about a consistency coaching package. This package includes a DISC assessment, a full personalized one-on-one debrief of your 31-page report, and then a consistency plan. We'll develop that consistency plan for you. It's a great way to learn more about yourself and to create a personalized plan about next steps. And it also includes a one-on-one follow-up coaching session where I'm going to hold you accountable to take action on that plan, helping you take the steps you know you need to take. It's a great way to get started. The cost is just $249 a person. You'll get great results or you get your money back. Fair enough? If you're interested, drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.